Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. I'm back. This is the Morning Shift. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squibble. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon, Michael. And I ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. We are missing the queen of improv, the first lady of Atlanta baseball, a tofu taster, Miss Allie Mack. She is, you know what? I don't even think she's not even on assignment, is she? She's just out. She's taking a little,
yeah,
she's much needed time.
She gave you the benefit of the doubt and said he has much deserved time off. I think we should do same thing.
That's what I said. Much deserved time. And I appreciate it. You know, because sometimes when you see somebody's on assignment, it's not even really true. Anyways, and we have the one and only my little brother in the business, a creepy waving Dylan Matthews. I am not happy with you, Dylan. We'll get to that later.
I don't know how much longer we can even wait to be able to get to that. Let me hit a couple of these headlines off the top. MLB playoffs. Mariners take a 2-1 series lead over the Tigers. They get the 8-4 win. Yankees, the comeback win. Aaron Judge, Tater. They stay alive with a 9-6 win to force game 4. All the teams are in action tonight. We got an NFL trade. Joe Flacco headed to the Bengals. I don't know if that's an upgrade or not. NCAA adopting new transfer portal rules and dates. We'll get into that, obviously, throughout the day. Jonathan Gannon fined $100,000 for his contact or incident on the sidelines with the Arizona Cardinals. And LeBron, the announcement, part two. He chooses Hennessy. I think we'll stop right there for just one second. I think we all knew Dylan yesterday talking about this. It's absolutely ridiculous, a marketing ploy. I thought it would be prime. I didn't see him going to Hennessy, but – just kind of is what it is. Nothing shocking there.
Yeah, I think the main thing that we were trying to guess on is, okay, what product is he about to be promoted for this decision?
What's the launch?
The decision is, what product is he getting some bags from? So yeah, it's all good. He gets some Hennessy VSOP. So Le Henny is what they're calling it now.
Yeah, because I'm sure he needed something free. The best part is that I heard more about Jonathan Gannon's incident with the running back and McCarty, whatever you pronounce his name, then I did this lame ass decision part two crap with LeBron. So, which I'm glad.
I was gonna say, I think that's we brought it up yesterday just because it was all over, and I kind of made this comment yesterday. Like, it was almost disappointing to me that it was on the front page of ESPN and CBS and CBS Sports. I was like, come on, man! Like, what are we doing? Y'all are gonna buy the hype on this? Like, y'all are really gonna go down this route and try to report on this as if it's, you know, really a thing? It's just not. So I'm curious to see what the kind of, not fallout off of that, but I don't know that he can go back to the well. I think LeBron's cooked as far as these publication things go of trying to make noise with his Instagram announcements or whatever it is.
Yeah, and I don't want to get stuck on the LeBron talk just because it's football season and we play Monday and it's Wednesday and it's kind of time to turn towards that. But I would say that as much respect as I give him for how he's handled his business, you know, on and off the court, with being exactly what he was hyped to be and basically walking a pretty straight line, and not, you know, he's had no real controversies outside other than stupid stuff like the decision and did he have Bronny drafted? Other than those little things, which really aren't a big deal, it almost feels like the NBA is kind of ready to move on to the next superstar.
And kind of really crown that, because I just feel like 10 years ago, this whole thing would have been a lot bigger.
Yeah.
And also, it was bad timing. Don't do it during football season.
Well, you're doing it at noon on a Tuesday. It's kind of like, you know, kind of is what it is. You're right. We do have a lot of football to get to. Just real quick before we get to some of the Falcons notes coming out of yesterday, Raheem Morris did speak. I got to ask you if you were able to catch up on the Twitters to Dylan's top five chicken sandwich list.
This is abysmal. So here's the deal.
Careful.
All right. First off, you don't tell me careful.
That was disrespectful, Dylan. Let's sit back up.
First off, I obviously had time off. I have still been taking pork chop to her meemaw's. However, the last 2 days it did not happen. Meemaw was sick, so it's been so. My point of telling you that is not to tell you that my mother-in-law's sick. The point is that's what I've been listening to you guys. So I've been listening for an hour at a time, but I haven't listened as much the last 2 days. I listened for like a 15-minute span Monday driving to Kroger and back, and then yesterday I put pork chop down for her first morning nap, and I said, "Man, I'm gonna do an iRace," and I put in my AirPods. And I pull it on, you know, the Odyssey app, and I hear the, and I'd missed top five. I forgot it was top five Tuesday, but it could. But anyways, it didn't time up, and it's 8 o'clock, and I hear Mike go, "Yeah, I'm sure Bo's listening somewhere on his AirPods," and I just bet he's going to kill Dylan for that top five list. And then I hear you revisit
the
list.
Have something to say,
and I go, "Holy hell, what human being with real taste buds?" Puts a fried chicken sandwich from Burger King on their top five list. With all due respect to Burger King, let's just say what they do best, and that's something. Anything flame broiled is good.
It's the word in the name.
Have you had the Royal Crispy Bowl?
No, you know why?
Why?
Because I wouldn't even think to. I wouldn't because I have more respect for a fried chicken sandwich than to try it. Let me tell you something. Where I go for my fried chicken sandwiches, Popeyes. Okay, Chick-fil-A. I would go to KFC. Back in the day, I would have went to Mrs. Winner's.
Oh, Mrs. Winner's is a good call. I forgot about them. They were really good.
The best biscuits around. Best chicken biscuit as far as best chicken place that makes biscuits, Mrs. Winner's.
Yes.
And their sweet tea was fire, too.
O-W. But your problem is, Bo, you haven't tried the Royal Crispy. Once you try the Royal Crispy, then you'll understand.
I'm not trying anything that tries to call itself a Royal Crispy.
This man is back in rare form already, Dylan. He's in rare form.
He came in ready, boy. Guns a-blazing.
Somehow I asked about a chicken sandwich, and we got iRacing and Meemaw thrown in there. I don't even know how we got
there.
The
Mrs. Winner's nugget was good, too. Let's not overshadow that.
Thank you, Dylan.
All right, man. We do got to get some Falcons news and notes yesterday. Raheem Morris was at the podium. Let's start here. We have, obviously, when you're coming off a bye week, it's an early bye week. A lot of questions about some of the guys that are dinged up. Raheem Morris gave us injury updates on some of the guys.
Yeah, well, Mooney. Okay, so Mooney, we'll get more information as the week goes. Same thing as how those guys go out of that game. Had the bye week. Obviously, we'll get more information on him when we start practicing and some of those different things. And the same with Hodge. Hodge will be doing some things with us, you know, in practice. But we'll get a better feel for those guys as we move towards the week.
Sounds promising. All right, let's stop there, and Dylan, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about A.J. Terrell and what he had to say.
Then A.J. would probably be the significant one that we look forward to getting back this game. You know, obviously he'll be out there practicing with us all week, and we'll take it right to game time, and I'm feeling good about it.
I'm not shocked to hear that, because if it had been any longer than past the bye week, I think that you would have probably looked at putting him on short-term IR and giving him 4 weeks and really allowing him to kind of heal, but maybe I'm wrong at that. But, man, getting him back in the lineup in a game like this is absolutely massive, as long as he's at 100%.
I think you're right. I think if they didn't have that bye week, he would have went on short-term IR. Although you have to be careful with that short-term IR, because you only get so many, I think.
I think it's 7.
Yeah, so you have to be careful using one so early. But I actually tend to believe you. I actually think A.J. plays. I always thought A.J. played coming off of a bye. You missed 2 weeks, coming off a bye, and then a long week. I would tell you that this is going to sound hateful.
Uh-oh.
But if I get 2025 Darnell Mooney, then I don't care if he rests. If I get 2024 Darnell Mooney, then that's the guy I need on the I need that guy. I really need that guy. And I know it's unfair, but he just has not been very good so far.
I don't think it's unfair. I mean, it'd be unfair if you were talking about, you know, his personality or something like that. Like, I think that he would admit that he was much better a year ago. Now, my question would be about Darnell Mooney coming into this weekend, or actually not this weekend. It's a Monday Night Football game. My question about Darnell Mooney would be, did the bye week help him mentally reset? I get the feeling watching him, and we kind of talked about this before you went on vacation. I get the feeling watching him that the injury and everything else and then going into the season and, you know, ramping up has kind of bogged him down. Like, mentally, he looks mad about something. Like, every time that there's a pass that he doesn't catch, he's had a couple of drops, anytime he's targeted, even when he's made grabs, it seems like that Darnell has gotten up off the ground and looked angry as he's looked back towards the quarterback position.
Look, man, I don't know. This to me gets down in the – this gets in an ESPN type conversation, what I'm about to say is – but I just wonder the chemistry – and look, I knew that there wouldn't be much last year because you thrown in there were three games, but it feels like the connection he had with Kirk has never been there the same that he has with Penix. And it felt like with him and Kirk, they were on the same wavelength where he knew what. There was an understanding of, if you see this, you're going to get at the bat, and if I see this, I'm gonna throw to you in these situations that, like, really just like the go back to the game against the Thursday night game against Tampa last year,
sure,
where he Arch just told me, you don't throw that ball, and he goes up the ladder. Darnell's he's a smaller guy, only 5'11", but he puts him up the bat, up the ladder in the middle of the field with there was a safety in there and a DB was on, but he put him up to bat, and it just feels like those plays were made because they were thinking the same thing and they knew what the other guy was going to do. And I just don't feel that way with Penix and Mooney, and I don't know if it's reps. I know that they worked together in the offseason, but then you missed those reps in camp.
Well, remember, he didn't play Week 18 last year either.
I know,
and he misses Week 1. So he has had less reps with Michael Penix than any of these other players that Michael Penix is throwing to.
And that's, I think to me that what you're saying you're seeing, I see it, but I feel like that's leading to that frustration.
You're probably right. What I was reading is frustration with his health. And the thing is, whenever a wide receiver is rusty, it's almost always after like a hamstring injury, a groin, a calf, something like that, maybe a foot injury. Like, he had a shoulder. And usually that's not something you see that wide receivers get frustrated about. Like, he's just running, right? Even when he's running routes. Now, has there been some plays where he's contacted the ground? Yeah. You talk about the comeback throw, in the end zone. Yeah, he's on the ground. The ball that was in his hands and out of his hands last weekend, where he finishes and kind of gets pushed to the ground out of bounds, maybe that's it. Maybe it's when his shoulder is contacting the ground, and maybe that's where his frustration is. But there's definitely something amiss just with his personality, and I don't know what it is.
And I hate it because we've talked to Darnell. Like, he's a great dude. He's the guy that you – like, he's that dude that you hated going against, but you loved having with you. Because there is a real tenacity to his personality, like the way he plays, the way he handles his business. And I think that's probably the most frustrating thing for me is the guy I'm seeing is not the guy I think I know.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I agree with you on that. And we actually tossed it around yesterday, some of the gadgetry that Andy Reid is able to use with Xavier Worthy. And we did throw around, hey, Darnell Mooney's got speed like that. Would you like to get him open field? But if there is a shoulder issue and every time he contacts the ground, that's a problem, then you don't go that route.
I know we got to get the break, but is that a thing where you almost treat him like, you know how you treat a young quarterback where you're like, hey, let's throw him a couple of quick completions to get him kind of comfortable, early in a start when it's one of his first couple starts. Is it kind of the same thing with Darnell? Like, let's throw him like a quick yak play. A play where if he can get the ball in open space, he can create some yak yardage and then maybe kind of get his confidence flowing.
I have an interesting answer for your question, but I'm going to wait till the other side of the break to get to it. We got to go to break. When we do come back, you're going to hear more from the Atlanta Falcons, the players that talked yesterday. Caden Ellis, Xavier Watts, we're talking about all that early success on defense. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Shift. Welcome back in. Mike, Bo, Dylan hanging out with you here on a hump day Wednesday morning. We do have Monday Night Football, and of course we'll always have the Falcons Friday locked in where it's at. I just want to remind people, I'm just trying to do my public service announcement. We try to do this all week leading up to this point. This is not an 8:20 kick. All right, for anybody that out there that doesn't realize this, let's go ahead and get the message out to Falcons Nation or whatever you want to call it. The Nest, the Rise Up people, whatever the faction is, it's not an 8:20 kick. This is an hour earlier than normal. All right. So get your transportation prepared to arrive on time and be rowdy in Mercedes-Benz Stadium for this Monday night game.
I remember when I went as a kid at the Georgia Dome where we used to sit. I've told this story before. Like, we didn't have season tickets. I got to go to like one or two games a year. My dad's boss would give him tickets. Sure. And it would sometimes be a regular season game. Sometimes it'd be a preseason game. Sometimes we'd get both, you know. But there was this guy that called himself the Great Falcone or Falcone or something
there
like that.
There you go.
And he had like
a swami feel.
He had like a duck. Like not a duck, but like a beak, the Falcon beak helmet.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if that guy still does that.
I don't know, man.
Might
be like our guy Stats out at training camp that just randomly showed back up after like a 7-year hiatus.
It's an odd thing to just disappear for 7 years. But Stats is, if you
Shout
guys ever seen
guy.
Stats, he knows everything about every player. He just calls them out. It's kind of random and funny.
Real quick before we get into this Falcons conversation about this defense, the NHL started off yesterday. It was opening night for them. Do you have an NHL team? Do you follow like the Jets because they moved from here?
No, I hate them because of it.
Okay. Do you have one at all? Like, is it?
Yeah. If I had to say that I would pick for one team.
Okay.
It's going to, you got any guesses who it might be?
If I had to pick one, it'd probably be the Predators, but I don't know. I have no idea where you're going with this.
Blackhawks.
Okay.
I grew up loving the logo. Yeah. I've been to a Blackhawks game. I've been to a Blackhawks playoff game.
That's pretty cool.
In fact, fun fact about me is the team, the Thrashers, left Atlanta right around the time I was starting. I mean, like my second year, I think, in radio, or maybe my third year. And I think they left after the 10th season. So I really never went to a hockey game as a fan until the Blackhawks game.
Interesting.
A very quick question on that. Is hockey, for people who don't really watch hockey or maybe are casual fans, is hockey very much like baseball to where if it can be boring to people who don't know what's going on or don't really understand the game, but once you get there and you're in person and just being in that environment, it's much more exciting than people might realize?
I think hockey's fun to watch on TV, personally.
I was going to say, I mean, to me, it's close quarters. It's like a quarter of a soccer field to me, and it's kind of like a lot like if you were playing soccer in close quarters.
Okay.
You know, everything's happening very quickly. There's never a stop in the action. Well, there are stops in the action, but not like a baseball game. You know, I think like anything, you fight the feeling of getting drudged down kind of in regular season. I mean, most people don't care if they're just watching, you know, a Dodgers versus Mariners game that, you know, so-and-so, you know, got a ground ball into a double play in the fourth inning. It's just like in the regular season. So I think they fight a little bit of that. But I'll be interested to see how this NHL season goes. So that'd be a lot of fun.
I'd tell you this, Dylan. If you don't like it on TV, if you just don't really get into it on TV, then, yeah, I think you would love it in person, though. If you're on the fence about it, because it is, to me, it's very exciting in person. I think you could give it the NASCAR-type feel where
– Yeah, NASCAR's a good one. NASCAR is so much, especially at Echo Park Speedway. It's so much fun in person. All right, let's get to some of this conversation after not hearing from the Atlanta Falcons for a week. You know, a couple of these guys were back at the podium yesterday. Raheem Morris stepped at the podium, was asked about the new defensive pieces on the field and how that's boosted the squad from last year.
We did go through a whole season last year. You know, obviously – Brick and Rudy and a couple guys changed, but there's a lot of familiar faces both on defense. There's a lot of familiar faces from last year. There's some new rookies, obviously, with Pierce and Walker and Watt and Bowman. Be to add those pieces, they have meshed really well to what we want to do and who we want to be. And they've actually led us to a certain extent in all of those guys. We talk about coaching or player.
I got to be real with you, man. And I respect Raheem for saying it the way he is. I think he doesn't want to disrespect the people that were here last year. But the biggest new part of this team is undoubtedly Jeff Ulbrich. Like, the biggest difference from last year to this year for me is undoubtedly Jeff Ulbrich. I don't think there's a close second. I mean, we've talked throughout the week about the defensive rankings and the yards per game and everything else. Like, he's completely changed the trajectory of that defense and where it sits right now.
Yeah, but you also have – I mean, yes, it's hard to disagree because I can't tell you that the four rookies would be having the same impact that they've had through the first four games if you had Jimmy Lake's style of defense.
Yeah.
And I don't want to sit here and bash Jimmy Lake. I had interactions with Jimmy Lake, always nice. Everybody in the buildings always talked great about him. Problem is his defense was not an NFL caliber scheme. His scheme, I should say. And the other thing I would say is that Raheem Morris waited entirely too long to fix that. And I think I said that – I feel like I said that last year, that why are we still doing the same defense? And you can call in and call me out if you think I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure I said you can't allow to continue to let receivers run unabated for 7 to 10 yards down the field like they did last year.
Sure.
And you have hugged up on receivers. It's not like you're not necessarily playing like press man coverage on the line of scrimmage, but you're hugging up. They're not just running free where at any point, you know, you see on film or you see after three or four plays, hey, if they're gonna play 10 yards off the ball, turn around at 5. And I'm going to hit you, and we're gonna dink and duck our way down the field.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say that, but I think it's 100% accurate. But also, don't forget though, you have guys that are making, but you have ball hawks all over the defense now. You have guys that just have closing speed now. I heard someone. I'm sorry. I know you're going to get frustrated when I say this, but I was watching Twitter because I was off. And this guy, you know, Nate Landman had a good game, a couple of games. I think it was the game, I don't know, sometime during the bye week. Why is Landman not here anymore? I can't believe we let this guy go. And like 20 people jumped him, old dudes like mentions, and was like, because he was slow. Because we're better now.
I think Divine Diablo has been pretty good in his absence. So,
and they defended Divine Diablo. And Divine Diablo gets lost in the fray because the four rookies have played so well.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Speaking of somebody who was here last year, Caden Ellis stepped up to the podium and was talking about how this defensive success has come down to just good pieces working hard.
A lot of hard work, you know. Obviously, Terry and Ron, and that whole department brought us all here. And they got Brick here. You know, Brick's pushed us really hard, but it's been worth it so far. We still got strides to take, still got things to correct, ways we can get better and become truly dominant. But it's been fun playing with this group so far.
Yeah, it looks fun. It looks a lot more fun. We've heard Jesse kind of talk about the fact that, you know, he likes Jeff Ulbrich's scheme. Jeff Ulbrich's been there. I would say that this group as a whole looks like they're having more fun than they ever did last year. And I guess it's because of output. You could say that. I guess it's because of success. I am curious to kind of dive into it. I don't think any of the four games we've played so far have been against opponents that even remotely resemble one another. And so I'll be curious to see, we're four games in now, once we get to eight, once we've had similar style of offenses you played, to go back and kind of look at things and how they're going about their business in terms of how it's changed since a year ago. But I think Caden Ellis said it best, man. Guys are just playing hard. They're flying around. They're not asking questions. They're not looking at one another after the play is over and wondering what the heck happened. I think you just alluded to that as well when you talk about Xavier Watts and some of the ball hawks on the back end. They don't have to ask questions about where they're going. They're very rarely out of place in this defense.
You brought up, we heard from Caden Ellis, and it just popped in my head. Like, what is Caden Ellis' future moving forward with this team if we have another year of Jeff Ulbrich and Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris? Like, if it came down to right now, if I told you to pick between Kyle Pitts and Caden Ellis, who are you picking?
Caden Ellis.
So am I.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I don't. That's not a slight, but it's just like, Caden Ellis.
Did we extend Caden Ellis?
No.
Then to Darnell Mooney, right? No. Back in September.
No, Mooney was, I think it was a restructure.
Okay.
Basically, to move money around.
Yeah, there you
go. But, like, it's one of those deals where, I mean, I don't know if there's been a bigger signing in the last, you know, as much as we talk about how great Jesse Bates is Caden Ellis not right there in line?
Okay, are you saying Caden Ellis has been a bigger signing than Jesse Bates?
No, I'm not saying bigger.
I think it's worth a conversation.
I'm saying they're equal. I don't think the defense is as good as they are right now without either one of them. Oh, there's the Captain Obvious statement. But my point is like they are both equally leading their units, and they've been very good since the day they stepped on the field here.
Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt about that. All right, this Thursday, join the Hawks for a blend of basketball and entertainment at State Farm Arena on Thursday, October 9th, with the Hawks Fan Fest presented by CareSource. You will have a unique opportunity to watch the 2025-26 Hawks roster in action through on-court drills and contests. Roscoe Dash performs, plus take part in interactive games and make some new memories. Tickets are available for $5. At Ticketmaster.com. We come back, we're going to talk some college football. I got a question for Bo, man. Crazy slate of games coming up this weekend. Who's more likely to be upset on the road, Georgia or Alabama? We'll have that conversation coming up on the other side of the break. Stick with us. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Radio 92.9 The Game at 6:43 here on Wednesday morning. Mike Johnson, Squid Billy Bo Morgan, and Dylan Matthews hanging out with you here on the morning shift before we get to college football. I just want to remind you guys, each Wednesday night, join Damian Day-Day Lewis for Prep Sports Nation, a comprehensive look at the teams and athletes making news in high school sports across the state. It's brought to you by Ingles. Low prices, love the savings. That's Prep Sports Nation, Wednesday nights on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, before we get some of these matchups for the weekend, I want to talk a little bit about this news coming in about the transfer portal. It's a good move, all right? And if you didn't notice this yesterday, let me get you guys in the loop here. Basically, the administrative committee voted Tuesday to adopt the proposed dates of January 2nd through the 16th as the new transfer portal window for all FBS and FCS players starting in 2026. Caveats to that, if you play in the national title game 5 days after that to be able to make that decision, I don't think anybody's going to have an argument against that. Maybe some of the players, but I think the way I look at it, coaches want to be able to get their roster set. I find value like to know who's playing for my team in the long run. I don't need multiple everything else crazy happening. I think the biggest one, though, that came out in this, and I don't know if you noticed this part of it, Bo. After a coach is fired, it used to be a 30-day window. We've seen that happen with UCLA, Virginia Tech, some other programs around the country this year. Now what they're going to do is they're going to move to a system where after the new coach is hired, 5 days after the new coach is hired, the window opens for some of these teams with coaching changes. What do you think?
This is so well done that it's almost like the NCAA had nothing to do with it.
I agree. That's a great way to put it.
I mean, that's all I can say.
I
think it's as well done and it's well thought out. And you can tell that the coaches had a lot of input in this.
Yes.
You can tell that probably ADs had a lot of input and not school presidents.
Yeah.
And not bureaucrats, because that's what I'm going to call them now, bureaucrats at the NCAA. NCAA is nothing but almost a bureaucracy ran. It's a bunch of, it's almost run. It's so inefficient. It's like the government is running it. So I think this is so well done. I love it. I love everything this is. This needs to go ahead and pass officially. I know that it's got one more vote or something, I think I read, or something like that. Maybe I misread that. But it's got one more. I want to see. They voted on Tuesday, but then there's another vote on Wednesday to ratify, I think, it or whatever. But this is so well done. I'm absolutely blown away with how. And you know what? Like, you and I had this conversation a couple of months ago about it, and we were kind of disagreeing on when we wanted the window to be. And then I talked to Rusty, and then and I had the conversation again, and you got me leaning in. But I feel like they took kind of some of the things that we all wanted and said, hey, let's make everybody happy.
Yeah, there's always the law of unintended consequences, and I keep trying to figure out what that is, and I can't. I can't poke holes in it, and I think that's a hat tip to how good this actually feels like it came out. Now, will it be frustrating, I think, when, a new coach is hired, and after that five-day window was up, you have 40 guys at the portal? Sure. But at least you have the 5 days, if you're the new head coach, to be able to meet with these guys and figure out what exactly they're looking for and to at least lay out a plan to try to keep them around. Otherwise, it was never even a thing, and you never even had the opportunity to be able to do that. A bunch of college football games coming up this weekend. Obviously, there's some rivalry matchups. Auburn and Georgia is a rivalry game. Before we get to that one, do want to talk a little bit about John Mateer, the Oklahoma quarterback. Looks like he could possibly be back into the fold this weekend, according to ESPN. He's pushing for return for Saturday's game against Texas. I'm going to be real with you, and I know you watch this one very closely and have not had the opportunity to weigh in. I'm not sure they need him to beat Texas.
They do.
I'm not sure that they even need the guy to go out and be. I mean, obviously, he's a game changer and was a Heisman frontrunner. But, dude, Texas is bad.
Texas can't run the football. They can't block. Florida's defensive line had 3 sacks going into the game against Texas. 3 all year.
Yep.
Now, don't get me wrong. Here's the thing. Whatever you think about Florida, defensively, they're a top 10 team in the country at every level. Other than actually bringing the quarterback down, they've been very good. Oklahoma is probably better defensively than Florida. If not better, they're right there. So they still need him, though, because you got the reason Florida beat Texas. You ready for this?
I can't wait to hear what you're about to say.
Dallas Wilson.
Oh, yeah. We talked about him yesterday.
Here's the deal.
He's a dog.
Dallas Wilson, many thought wasn't even the best Wilson at wide receiver because everybody loved Trey. But Trey can't stay healthy. He might not be, though. He's not the most impactful receiver they have. Vernell Brown is. Vernell Brown's been the best player offensively for Florida, not named, what's my running back? His name, boom, right under my head, but Jaden Ball.
Yeah.
Jaden Ball is the best player offensive floor. But Lagway was so much better, and he was better for a couple of reasons. For one, he had Vernell Brown had help on the outside, and Dallas Wilson stepped up and made some big plays.
He looked like a man amongst boys.
Holy.
Which I did not expect anybody to be able to look like a man amongst boys. Going, I thought Texas' defense was going to be the best unit in the nation.
They are one of the better
They're
units.
They're very good. Like you said, but I mean, it was very clear that he was a good player.
Which when one team that's really held Jeremiah Smith in wraps, and it's been Texas' defense, they've done it twice. They did it in the semifinal for the most part, and they did it for the most part in that game in Columbus week one. But they can create pressure. But Arch, let me tell you something, Arch Manning's close. Whatever you want to say, you don't say. He made some big
That game was not on Arch Manning. Went back and watched it. His offensive line was getting destroyed.
Yeah. And if you listen to the broadcast, I know you were in Tuscaloosa, yes. Which, by the way.
Dang.
Really cool. I'm so happy you got to do that. I was thinking about you. I had that TV, that game on the silent TV, as I call it.
Yeah.
The second TV. And that was a really good game.
Great game.
Looked like Alabama kind of controlled the line of scrimmage in the second half, kind of got their way a little bit more.
Yeah, they did.
But I think Arch's pressure was on him so much all day that his clock sped up and he started to miss things late. He was better out of the pocket than in the pocket in that game.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one, man. I do think that I think he's catching strays. For anybody that's not paying close attention, you just look at it, Sarkisian, and everything else going on, and you just think Arch keeps thinking. I just don't think it's all on him. So
it's not. They can't block, and they can't run the football efficiently right now.
They look like they're a team full of guys that are, you know, being very picky and choosy about when they want to play hard. That's all.
I think Archie Manning was right about Arch Manning coming back for his senior year.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. I do want to get into a couple of these games. I asked you going into break because I want you to weigh in on this. Obviously, I veer towards Alabama. A lot of people listening veer towards Georgia. More likely to be an upset this weekend. Alabama at Mizzou or Georgia at Auburn. These spreads are all kind of bouncing around the same number. It's been right at 3, 3.5, that kind of total.
Okay, so I can do this a multitude of ways. I think Alabama right now might be playing as good as anybody in the country. And you need to check yourself if you think, well, they struggled against Vanderbilt because Vanderbilt's going to be an 8-win.
Vanderbilt's good.
Vanderbilt will win at least 8 games, and they'll be in a decent bowl, whatever you define that as is these days. But I would say Alabama. And the reason is Kirby Smart doesn't lose games against teams that he shouldn't lose games to.
Couldn't agree
more. And you can say, well, they shouldn't have lost Alabama. Dude, Alabama's pretty freaking good. And they came into a team that was filling themselves. You didn't really know what Gus Malzahn and the Castellanos kind of thing was going to be. It was the first game. It was at Doak Campbell. That was not an easy environment. There was a lot of – they were missing Jam Miller. You can go through the list. But I would always say that Kalen DeBoer's got to win games on the road.
Yes, he does.
In the SEC.
No doubt.
Although Mizzou is – 14th ranked team in the country.
I was
going
to say, I don't know that I would even categorize this one. If Bama were to lose, I'm not going to throw this in the category that you would have last year thrown in Oklahoma when Bama lost to them or, you know, whoever else it was along the way. Like, Mizzou's a very good football
team. Can we say the Vanderbilt loss last year is not near as bad right now as it looked last year?
1,000%. 1,000%.
I'm also going to tell you that Ty Simpson's a better college quarterback than Jalen Milroe.
There's no doubt about that. No doubt about that. As a matter of fact, he keeps climbing up Heisman boards. I do find it interesting that the spread is very similar because I don't think I don't think Auburn's as good as Missouri. The Auburn-Georgia game to me will be about can Jackson Arnold or will Jackson Arnold hold the ball long enough for Georgia's pass rush to get home? Like, I think that's the biggest question. Jackson Arnold loves to burp the baby in the backfield. He loves to survey his options. And Georgia has not been good rushing the passer with their front four. So which one actually lands? Is he going to hold it long enough for Georgia to get home? I would say that the answer to that is yes.
I heard you talking about how that Texas-Florida game was one you thought could upset the apple cart in the SEC.
Yeah,
remember
we talked
about it, but yep. You brought it up, and you felt like you were wrong, although I think you're still right about that. But can we mention another one?
Go ahead.
I think it's 7 o'clock kick down at Kyle Field.
Oh, God. Ooh.
Texas call. A&M, Florida.
Yeah.
Because here's the deal. A&M played Notre Dame. Both offenses run amok. Has A&M played a defense as good as Florida's yet? And has Dallas Wilson changed Florida's offense? Because I was sitting there with Pork Chop. We're watching the game. Watching Florida-Texas. And I know it's a lot of Florida talk, but this is actually Texas A&M talk. And I told her, I said, that Florida was having great success against Texas's defense on first down running the football. And they kept creeping that safety down. And I told Pork Chop, I said, hey, pay attention, Mel. Because they're creeping that safety down in the box. It's shot time. They're going to take a shot. And they did with Vernell Brown. And Lagway didn't even throw an accurate. I mean, he just threw it up for grabs. Yeah. Vernell Brown climbed the ladder, went and got it. But Florida can run the football. And they can stop the run. That could be big. Marcel Reed's first start came against. He wasn't ready yet, but it came against Florida in Gainesville last year. I think that game, because that's the teams leading the board right now in the SEC are Ole Miss and A&M. Alabama's there at 2-0 in the conference, but those two teams right now, 4-5 in the country. Yeah. That's a huge game.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. There's a lot of those kind of mid-tier SEC games, and I say mid-tier. I don't think there's elite teams in the SEC right now. I think there's a lot of really good teams in the SEC. So
I don't know if there's an elite team in the country.
Yeah, and
I
actually,
think there's some false prophets out there too.
We're going to talk about college football a little bit later on, probably coming up at 7:40. I got a couple of questions for you to throw in there, and which one Wednesday as well. So that will be a lot of fun. We are going to talk about Falcons. We come back on the other side of the break, though. We've been asking the question all week, and we're going to ask the question continuing all week. How do the Falcons stop Josh Allen? Well, yesterday, the man you want to pay attention to, Caden Ellis, he stepped up to the microphone. You'll hear that on the other side of the break on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.